Hello, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Monday, October 19th. The Legislative Committee looking into the state's COVID-19 response meets again today. Top health officials from Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration will face questions from the committee. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Republican State Representative Matt Hall chairs the joint House and Senate COVID-19 committee. He expects there will be questions about infections in nursing homes, why some parts of the economy were allowed to reopen while similar businesses remained in shutdown, and a state Supreme Court decision that the governor went too far in her use of emergency powers.
I think that's fair game.
And that the state's health department chief quickly used a separate authority to issue a similar set of emergency health orders.
You know, I would expect that there would be questions about those orders too, and conversation about those.
But Hall says he does not want the effort to become embroiled in election year politics and does not expect to issue findings before November 3rd. I'm Rick Pluta.
A directive from Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says the open carry of guns by civilians will be banned at polling places on election day. At least one gun rights group says it might file a lawsuit, arguing that the Secretary of State is violating First and Second Amendment rights, although it may be too late to litigate the issue before Election Day. Jake Rallo is Benson's spokesperson. He says the directive's purpose is to discourage voter intimidation.
Based on existing law, that's how this guidance is being issued. So we absolutely believe, you know, that this is legal and will hold up in court because, you know, there are federal laws that protect voters from being intimidated.
The directive says openly carried guns will not be allowed within 100 feet of a polling place, a clerk's office where absentee ballots are being dropped off, and places where absentee ballot counting boards will meet. The major party presidential campaigns continue a barrage of get-out-the-vote efforts in Michigan this week, sending some of their highest-profile surrogates to the state. Quinn Kleinfelter reports.
The nominees themselves campaigned in the state in just the past few days. President Trump held a rally at a private airport in Muskegon on Saturday, while Democratic rival Joe Biden was in Southfield and at a drive-in event in Detroit on Friday. Now the candidates are sending some of their closest confidants to Michigan. Ivanka Trump is in the suburbs of Grand Rapids today, with her brother Eric Trump visiting businesses tomorrow in Lansing and near Ann Arbor. That same day, Dr. Jill Biden, the wife of the former vice president, will also campaign in the state. I'm Quinn Kleinfelter.
A federal magistrate in Grand Rapids says there's enough evidence for the case to move forward against five of the men charged in an alleged plot to kidnap the governor. The evidence next goes to a grand jury, which will decide which charges to bring. Mark Satoa is an attorney for Ty Garbin, one of the men named in the criminal complaint. He says prosecutors have only released small parts of what might be thousands of hours of recordings of the men.
But let's be clear. We're talking about guys who want to run around in the woods with guns and say bad things about the government.
Satoa says neither of those things are illegal and says his client wasn't on board with kidnapping, but a federal judge decided Garbin and the other four men should remain behind bars while the case moves forward. A sixth man from Delaware is being transferred to Michigan to face federal charges, and an additional eight men are facing charges at the state level. Michigan election officials are making final preparations for the November 3rd presidential election. In Ingham County, Clerk Barb Byram is helping about 100 county jail inmates get registered to vote. Michigan law allows people to vote before and after serving their sentences. Nationally, a historic number of people are voting absentee. Byram says that makes it difficult to predict physical turnout at polls on election night. She says her office is actively working to ensure a safe and secure process.
The polling location on election day is sacred ground. There is to be absolutely no campaigning, no voter intimidation, no misbehavior within 100 feet of the entrance of that polling location.
On Friday, Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson issued a statewide ban on the open carry of firearms at the polls. Michigan faces a heightened risk of extremist violence even after the November election. As Ben Thorpe reports, counterterrorism experts warn an unprecedented plot against Governor Gretchen Whitmer could encourage more groups to take action.
In the aftermath of a plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer, state officials and counterterrorism experts are turning their attention to the polls. Experts say statements made by President Trump in September, making unfounded claims about election fraud and telling supporters to watch the polls, could inspire armed groups or individuals to show up at the polls on election day.
And will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified? President Trump, you go first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what
So there is a legitimate concern because, you know, these militia groups, some of them are Trump supporters, and so they may take that as a call to action.
This is Daryl Johnson, a former senior analyst of domestic terrorism with the Department of Homeland Security. He authored a report in 2009 that warned of the rise of white supremacist and anti-government groups that he says was largely ignored, after which his research team was essentially dissolved.
The problem has been is our legislators have been slow to call out this threat. Our federal law enforcement has been fearful of pursuing this threat because of the backlash, you know, that my report received back in 2009. So there's kind of a chilling effect.
Mary McCord is the legal director for the Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at Georgetown Law. She says part of the story of a national rise of extremist and particularly militia groups is a failure to characterize them as unlawful.
There is no legal authority under state or federal law for private groups of individuals to self-activate as a militia. They point to the term militia in the Constitution, but that term is well-regulated militia. And well-regulated has always meant, even before the Constitution, regulated by the state.
McCord says all states ban paramilitary organizations that don't fall under the authority of the governor.
The militias are now established in every state as the National Guard. And to the extent that every state has some provisions that refer to the militia as all able-bodied residents capable of being called forth, only the governor has authority to call them forth.
Michigan is one of a handful of states with explicit provisions banning paramilitary groups like militias. The state constitution notes that all military units fall under state authority, and state statutes prohibit firearm training that could be used in the furtherance of civil disorder. According to McCord, this misconception about the legality of militia groups, especially among law enforcement, has allowed them to grow.
You know, it's incumbent upon law enforcement not to tacitly allow that to happen. They need to be telling these groups not only, we don't need your help, we've got this, but your help is unlawful.
McCord says it will be incumbent on state and local officials to both protect polls and be clear about the validity of election results.
And so people should have confidence in the validity of the vote, and as we always have done, be prepared to accept the results of that vote without taking to the streets. If we can't count on the president to send that message, then it's incumbent on all of the rest of us, including the media, to do so.
In Michigan, state officials say that firearms are banned within 100 feet of polling locations. Concealed carry is banned only at locations that would otherwise have a concealed carry ban, such as churches or schools. Robert Stevenson is the executive director with the Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police. He says police and the Attorney General's office will work in coordination to identify any potential instances of voter intimidation.
And our understanding is the Attorney General plans to have personnel on duty the day of voting, all the time the polls are open, so that if police do encounter something that's a gray area, they can call representatives from the Attorney General's office and get guidance.
Daryl Johnson, former analyst with the Department of Homeland Security, says his concerns around heightened extremism extend beyond the November election.
This isn't going to end on November 4th. If the Republicans win, it's more of the same that we've had over the past 4 years. If the Democrats win, then of course, you know, Trump's kind of laid out this landscape that there's rampant voter fraud, and the election is rigged.
Johnson says it will take years to undo a lot of momentum around the rise of extremist groups.
We'll probably go through a period of, you know, heightened violence before things get better. But unfortunately, I think we've reached the new norm. And this is just going to be, you know, what we're going to have to deal with for years to come. Doesn't matter whether Republicans or Democrats are in power. These far right groups are going to be active and agitated, and certain members are going to be plotting nefarious things.
According to Johnson, one silver lining is that finally, people are taking the threat these groups pose more seriously. I'm Ben Thorpe.